You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Payday Linda Mueller is being taken to the High Court by the Commerce Commission on allegations of breach of responsible lending practices between 2015 and 2017. Mueller, which also trades under the website name needcashtoday.co.nz, offers loans of up to $5,000, assorted with rates that can go up to 625%. And while this isn't illegal, the lending company is believed not to have done their due diligence in researching their client's ability to repay these loans. So I first talked to Tim Barnett, who is the CEO of FinCap. It's an umbrella organisation that provides budget advice. FinCap released a research earlier this year looking into multiple short-term lenders with alarming findings, and it is FinCap's referral that actually led the Commerce Commission to take action. So I asked him about the results of this research.
We're a national organisation supporting 200 local services around the country, and they see about 70,000 people a year who are in financial hardship. About half those people have had one of these high-cost short-term loans, often more than one, and often it's gone as far as a debt collector. So they're in the debt spiral. So the work happens on the ground. It was in Christchurch Budget Service that somebody came in, and they got a loan from Mueller, and it looked like Mueller had not behaved responsibly, and that complaint was taken through by the local service. This is back in like 2015 to 17. That was the period involved, and it's taken another 2 years to go through the system to the point that the Commerce Commission have enough evidence to move ahead with a prosecution of Mueller.
But it's not an isolated case, is it?
Oh, no, no. So, I mean, around 35,000 people a year, about 70,000, have these loans, and in the high-cost model, which is basically interest rates of 100% or more, this is pretty common. So they're supposed to do affordability tests. Most tests aren't normally done well, if they're done at all in some situations. They're supposed to make sure why the people are getting the loan, what the reason of it is. They need to make sure that people aren't going to be in hardship trying to repay it. And in this case, it looks like there have been a whole range of charges that have been brought, because it looks like, from the allegations, that Mueller's processes have failed. And that's pretty typical of the 20 or 25 companies who work in that area. We've asked around our services to see what they think of that sector, what they think of these high-cost loans, and their response is that 90% of the services say this causes much more harm than good. Yep. And they'd rather they weren't on the market. And that's why we're going for a law reform to try and achieve that.
Yes. Before I touch on that, Mueller's defence that I've read in other media outlets is that basically they're saying that there were no fine prints, no hidden costs. Everything was clearly displayed on their websites, or they sort of made sure that people would realise that this is what they were getting into, and so therefore it's not really their responsibility. What do you think of that?
Well, in fact, when we did a survey earlier this year, services reported that most people they were working with had a poor understanding of their rights. So it's one thing putting stuff in small print and parading it on a website. It's another thing making sure that the individual really understands the really high risk nature of the product that they're accessing. And by high risk, I mean that an interest rate of 400 or 500% means that repayments on even a loan of 500 are quite considerable, and if you get into trouble, you're very quickly into default fees, and from there the evidence is many people go for another loan to repay the previous loan, and that's the spiral they get into. So absolutely the company is going to claim that they did everything properly, because that's their defense, but we think this is pretty typical of this sector, that the product is innately an unreasonable product to have on the market because of the risk of people defaulting. The whole model is predicated on people either paying very high interest rates or defaulting and getting into trouble. And that's why these companies rise and grow very quickly, and if they're then found to have broken the law, they tend to disappear.
You were talking about taking this matter and sort of turning it into law. So the government has presented the Credit Contracts Legislation Amendment Bill earlier this year. It passed its first reading. It's now in the hands of a select committee. And so it, if I'm not mistaken, it aims to cap the interest rates, right?
No, it doesn't. What it is aiming to do is to say if you borrow an amount of money, you won't repay more than twice that amount. So if you borrow 500, you won't repay more than 1,000. But that can be over a short period. And the interest rate can still be hundreds of percent. So we like what the government is saying in terms of that provision, but we want to add on to that an interest rate cap. And if you do the two together, then we feel that's actually starting to address the real issues.
What about all of the additional fees as well? Because one thing that I saw going onto Mueller's website is that for every single operation that you can do, there is an extra cost to pay. But those are not in part of the bill.
They should be reasonable. I mean, those fees have to be defensible at the moment. And the law reform, is tightening up in a number of those areas. So the affordability tests are going to be more transparent than they are at the moment. So our financial mentors can work out what the company have actually done, if anything, to check on affordability, and also the need for fees to be transparent and fair is being focused on in the legislation. But that does that. I mean, that adds an extra complication to everything. So it's not a simple transaction of borrow the money and pay it back, because, as you say, every single stage you're paying more, and that's the nature of the model. And I guess at the end of the day, we're making a moral point that do we really want a product where so many people fall into default, where the financial hardship caused is so great, when there are alternatives around which would become easier to operate if this product or these products didn't exist.
Yeah. One last question. Mueller reacted to that bill earlier this year by saying that if you put these into place, then it would actually make it harder for their company to kind of keep offering those attractive and very easily accessible short-term loans, and that they would, I suppose, in return, make it harder for people to have access to those products. What do you think of that, and do you think it's realistic claim?
Well, I think it's the role of governments and parliaments to say there are certain activities and products in our society that are so unreasonable and cause so much harm that they shouldn't be available. And that's the point we're making in regard to these products. Yes, they look attractive. Yes, they may be convenient for some people. But when 90% of the experts on the ground, the local budget services, are saying these are harmful products, I tend to go along with their judgment, because they're seeing the other side of this whole equation. So the legislation is heading in the right direction, but what it needs is to have a realistic interest rate cap added, which doesn't affect most of the loan companies, doesn't affect the banks, and encourages microfinance and others to take over the market, but does say some of these models are just so abusive and cause so much harm they shouldn't be there.
And as Tim Barnett just said, short-term lending isn't the only solution for people in need of cash. Less aggressive schemes exist to help people out of these unforeseen costs. Nga Tanata Microfinance is actually one of them. And unlike the other programs, there are no extra fees or interest on their loans. While Mueller claims that capping the interest would actually basically make the whole financing scheme system collapse, I wondered how Nga Tanata could offer such loans. And so I asked its executive officer, Robert Choi.
Firstly, we're a charitable organisation, so we receive our capital that we on-lend from Kiwi Bank as part of their sort of social responsibility work. And we receive support from philanthropy or charitable organisations to support our operations. So we're able to provide our loans at no interest and no fees. But also the intent behind what we do is very much around the whole sense of social justice and ensuring that people have a safe and fair and affordable option from those like Mueller and others that lend at high interest. So we're there to provide an alternative and a safe alternative for people, rather than getting into the traps of high interest and high fees that you've described. So we come from a very different not-for-profit perspective, but also recognising that people on low incomes, really once they get caught in those interest rate traps and get behind, they really struggle, as you've seen in the Mueller example.
This is why you offer those debt relief loans that are specifically targeted at sort of getting out of this vicious circle. Could you maybe give me like an example of a profile sort of the people that contract these debt relief loans? How much debt are they in, and how long has it been going on, and how did they get there?
Well, our target group for our loans is really those who are on low incomes. So they would probably be, a lot of them would be on a work and income support or low income wage earners. And I guess they've got there because they barely have enough. In fact, you could even argue they don't have enough to make ends meet being on a low income as such. And so when sort of the emergencies that happen to all of us occur, you know, the car breaks down, the fridge packs up, children are sick, those day-to-day emergencies and life events that causes them to need to borrow if they can't borrow or obtain finance from whānau or others or friends. And so that's when the lenders that are out there make it easier for them to borrow money, and therefore they get caught in that trap. So already the challenge for them is that they've barely got enough for their own, for food and the essentials for the whānau. And so the challenge is therefore that they don't have enough really to be able to meet those emergencies when they come, and therefore that borrowing is necessitated, and that's how they get caught.
One of the allegations against Mueller is that they haven't done really their due diligence in finding out whether their clients could repay the loans that they were contracting. That seems obviously like one of the main things that those companies have to do because of the very fragile nature of the income of the people that contract those loans.
That's right. Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. They, being an online lender and promising that, you know, they can deliver a loan within a very short time frame, it's quite hard to imagine how they can actually undertake their responsibility to assess a client's ability to repay. And also there's the suitability of the loan as well that they need to assess. They would struggle to do that, and therefore they would be acting irresponsibly according to the legislation and the Responsible Lending Code.
Speaking of legislation, you've expressed your desire for a change in legislation for quite a while. And so what are your thoughts on the Credit Contracts Legislation Amendment Bill that has been initiated by the government recently?
Yeah, I think we're very supportive of the fact that the government is undertaking the changes that they've suggested. And I think there's a lot of merit in some of the areas that they're trying to look at, that whole area that we just talked about around affordability and strengthening the lender's responsibility to do that. I think they're looking at the advertising as well, which is also one of the issues that Mueller have been caught under. But the key area which we would like to see the government move on is actually an interest rate cap, because at the moment they've got a suggestion that they will put a what they call a cost of credit cap, which is, in other words, if you borrow 100, you only pay back a maximum of 200, and that's only for high interest lenders, being above 50%. So we'd like to see an interest rate cap that goes way below that, maybe something near the 30% mark, or even a bit lower, so that people don't actually get caught in those high interest regimes to start with. Well, I view it as very much like an ambulance at the top of the cliff, you know, because once you get caught in that interest trap and the fees, then you spiral into debt, and you spiral into all the challenges of for your own family, providing necessities for your family that entails. So we'd like to see an interest rate cap alongside what the government is proposing. But nonetheless, what they've started is good. It's just not complete, and we actually see it not having the true effect that they'd like to have by not having an interest rate cap as part of what they're proposing.
Mm. You mentioned advertisement. How, I suppose that's one of the key for these short-term lenders, and you know how to. This is how they manage to find clients, I suppose. Yeah. How do you sort of compete in that environment, and how could your organisation try and sort of catch these people that need finance before they get caught by these short-term lenders?
Yes. Yes, a good question. I mean, we don't have the budget to be able to compete to the same level. I mean, they put a lot out there in advertising and through various media channels. Our model of working is actually a little bit more focusing on what they call building the financial capability of clients. So our loans actually work through budgeters or financial mentors, as they are now called. So those are people who work in throughout New Zealand through budgeting services, and they support clients with budgeting who come to them for needing advice or support with their finances. So our loans really are a part of the whole idea of helping a client not only address their high interest debt, but actually be educated and supported in their whole budgeting, you know, the balancing of their budget and understanding around financial health for their family in a broader sense than simply just a loan. So we don't quite have the same model as Moolah and others do. We'd like to be out there a bit more, but our current model is really through financial mentors or budgeting services.
But you're hoping that with legislation, the world sort of short-term finances will be a bit healthier?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for lenders like ourselves, ethical lenders like ourselves, if hopefully the market for these high-cost predatory lenders shrinks and that people will therefore not get caught in that trap, they'll look for other sources and organisations like ourselves, if we can have that support to be able to scale up and look at how we can meet that increased demand, that would be part of the solution as well in society, to be able to provide ethical lending opportunities, safe, fair and affordable opportunities, rather than having the lenders out there who are not safe and not fair and not affordable.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.